Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. This is Angela Cole bringing you this week's Living the Shift. And this week I have Jennifer Cunnings-Warrington with me for our topic. So Jennifer, say hi.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Thanks for coming on. And, you know, I love doing this because it's always just a conversation and we decide on these topics as they're relevant to what's going on. And so today we're talking about the shinies, but you know, we could go in any of 100 different directions. So, you know, Jennifer, I'm going to put it out to you. Which direction would you like to start in today?
Well, I think it's kind of ironic that when we can talk about the shinies, we can go in 100 different directions and aren't those a bunch of shinies too?
That's true. That is true. So, you know, we started talking about this topic. Well, and it's really big. It's much bigger than a shoebox because we have so many things right now, and really the focus of the week, this is a perfect topic because the focus every week seems to be what's the shiny for us to, you know, stop directing our attention to instead of just looking inside and getting to the core of what's going on.
Are you asking or are you?
Well, it's just a comment. You can talk whenever you want. Because, you had said that you had a conversation with a client about this and, you know, or something along those lines. We were talking more on physical stuff, but that's a good place to start with.
Yeah, it just seems like we get really mired into, you know, the muck of things and, you know, get fixated on like, the little details of whatever's showing up, whether it's a shiny object or whether it's, you know, something that's been holding us back. And then we really get fixated in the problem. We get fixated in feeling the need to fix it. And it is a distraction from being able to shift and refocus on what it is we're wanting to create. And so all these different opportunities show up for us and kind of, in my experience lately, are kind of derailing from what we're wanting to move into and create.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because this, like, so we both do energy healing facilitation and stuff. And so, you know, part of that whole practice, because people ask me about that all the time who aren't familiar with it. And part of the practice of this is actually very, very, very aligned with what they're calling functional medicine today, which is looking at the whole picture, looking at the bigger picture and what the underlying non-physical cause can be that's creating the physical symptoms or manifestation. And that includes everything from, you know, physical issues and medical issues to emotional ones to environmental ones to, you know, I can't get this person out of my life, but also things like, you know, my shoulder issues or something like that that somebody might have. So first of all, it's a big shift for us because we have gotten to this place energetically of such separation and such disempowerment and such projection of, well, it's not my fault, it's something, you know, I can't do anything about this or whatever, to, no, it's all me. It's all me. And wait, it's all me too, right? So what, like, where do you start? Because, I mean, we both have our own practices and stuff like that. So where do you start when you work with somebody who's new to this kind of perspective?
I think I start by broadening the lens. You know, like I think you mentioned in our exchange, kind of zooming out a little bit and seeing things from maybe a perspective that we haven't looked at it from before, or they haven't looked at it from before, because, again, we get really laser focused on all these issues, and then next thing you know, we're, you know, stuck in our ego. We have all this mental chatter around, you know, what is this happening, why is it happening to me? We get into a victim stance mentality about it. And if we just do a little bit of a shift and step back a little bit, we might be able to see this from some different perspectives, such as, you know, say I have, like you mentioned, the pain in the shoulder, and really that laser focus is just going to be, well, there's this pain, I need to be healed, I'm tired of it, versus, you know, maybe we can see this from a really larger perspective into the greater scheme of things. Maybe, you know, there's just a lesson in that experience, or maybe we're holding on to something that we need to let go of. I mean, it can be, you know, a thousand different things. One of the things that I tell my clients to do is, like, what it works for me is to put myself into an airplane or literally just fly above the situation and see if there's different ways that I can look at it to where I become more detached and I'm not so connected to the problem. So if I can take a step back, view it from a different perspective or angle, I might be able to create new insights in terms of how I want to move forward. And I think one of the things is we just get stuck and we get really focused on whatever the problem is, and we're not looking to what we want to create moving forward. So that zooming out or seeing things from a higher perspective can begin to shift how we view or experience whatever the problem is.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great point. And with me, what we tend to do is, like, I let them just come in and talk, right? Like, and it's funny, it's just holding a space of love and acceptance, and there's no judgment here. And what goes on in my office stays in my office. Like, you know, what we discuss there stays here. And it's so funny because a lot of times they'll come with, like, a predetermined in their mind, right? Here you go, what they want to talk about and what they want to focus on. And then I'll be guided to ask them about something, right, which will just open up this can of worms and go, you know, and then they go on and on. And then we end up spending, you know, 15 minutes talking about that. And, you know, they might have come in because they have a shoulder pain, right, or this thing that, you know, nothing else has worked and they're trying something else, an alternative, whatever. And it's funny that I said shoulder pain because it makes me think of, there's a client once and she came in and we're talking. And she didn't even mention, by the way, that she had shoulder pain, right? So what was fascinating was we were talking about all of these burdens she had taken on from her family. And, you know, she's an adult woman and this and that, but yet her parents still, like, held her liable for all this stuff, and she had to take care of all this stuff, and it like, she always felt this weight of her family's expectations and obligations, like, you know, as a sack on her back that she's carrying through. Well, of course, if you're carrying a sack that's 4,000 pounds, eventually your shoulders are going to start hurting, right? So even if it's not physical, and that's what many don't understand, is that's what we create in our body. So what was so interesting was she didn't mention anything about the shoulder until she got up to excuse herself to go to the bathroom for a minute. And then she goes, oh, and you know what? For some reason, I'm sort of feeling like I need to bring up this shoulder thing that I've had going on after we had this whole conversation. And I'm like, oh, totally not surprised. And, you know, we did energy clearing and energetic clearing and on the core issues. And funny enough is that when she walked out, she, you know, we didn't even focus on her shoulder. We were focused on this other stuff. And when she walked out, she goes, you know, it's really funny. Shoulders pain gone for the first time in, like, weeks. So it's pretty amazing that we could do nothing, like, you know, it doesn't have to be physically tended to, and we can look at the stuff that we're holding on to emotionally and energetically, because we do hold on to it in our physical cells, right? And we create that message via the signboard of our physical body, or we have traditionally. So when we sort of start thinking of it from that perspective, I mean, it really helps people to start saying, well, you know, this is here for something for me to look at. Like, if we say my whole physical body is a neon sign and this is blinking, what would that represent to me, you know?
Right. Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing to educate people about, if they haven't seen it from that perspective, is that, you know, things are manifesting themselves with physical pain or anything physical. That's just a message for you. And usually you've been tapped on the shoulder about things in the past and just have ignored it, and then finally it manifests physically because it's the only way it can get your attention.
Right, which is funny. I like the way you say that, so gently tapped on the shoulder, because how many of us get those messages, right?
Right, or we get them and we just totally ignore them, right? Because it's not something we're willing to give our attention to.
Right, or it's uncomfortable, or it's inconvenient to look at it at that time, or whatever. And you know, it's funny because I made a sort of deal with my higher self, like, a long time ago, like, you know, several years back, where I said, you know what, I don't need the physical neon sign anymore, right? So I'm done with this. Let's just change that agreement, that that's what's going to be. And basically the answer I got was, that's fine, except if you continue to, like, say, you know, I was like, okay, my promise is that I will pay attention to the messages, right, and be willing to look at even the things that are uncomfortable. But, you know, so the higher self is sort of like, okay, but realize that if it goes to a certain point, you know, then it will still, even though so what I found is that when it does show up in my physical body, it is really late in the game. Like, I've gotten probably, like, a whole bunch of messages now, which is a lot later than a lot of other people because I do give myself opportunity and stuff. But it's fast. And typically, though, if I do get it, it is such a blaring neon sign, even if it's a minor physical thing, right? I'm so used to having it outside of my reality that I'm like, okay, this is, like, totally big red neon going, okay, look at how far you've had to come. You've actually had to put it in your body now.
Yeah, and that becomes less and less when we did the share the other day and the physical stuff that I have going on. You know, I never get that stuff anymore. And so the fact that it showed up for me and there's physical pain that I'm experiencing, I'm like, okay, obviously I haven't been paying attention. I'm gonna get whacked over by the
time. Right. Or the 12x12, however that might be. So, you know, we get more adept at it, but we are really, truly, when we're in the body like this, the physical body, we have been out of the practice of really listening because it's been part of the experience, you know. And so, you know, I see people who, and sometimes, by the way, I don't want anybody who was watching this either now or outside of space and time to start judging themselves, because here's the thing. Sometimes we don't even recognize it as a sign. We're so used to writing things off, right? And we're so used to saying, oh, well, I can't do this. But here's the thing. We're limiting ourselves. It's a distraction. It's a way for us to limit ourselves by saying, oh, well, I can't do this because of this, instead of saying, well, what would I do that needs to shift in my life so that I can be free of this, you know?
Right. It creates awareness, not an opportunity to blame yourself for not listening. And I think one of the things that, you know, we've been discussing lately is that awareness, let's even just talk about the physical pain. Say that physical pain is related to somewhere in our life where we're feeling guilty or shameful because we've done something that we perceive to be bad, or we feel guilty about because we have, you know, enormous regret for what we did, and then we weren't able to forgive ourselves, and that ends up being, you know, back to the physical pain again. And I think there's a really strong message there in that it's not a blaming of self of, oh, I'm being punished, you know, physically because of what I did, versus I have an awareness now that this physical pain is connected to something that I've experienced in the past emotionally that I have yet to let go of, or better yet to embrace. You know, if there's that aspect of myself, so I had a client who she's experiencing a lot of physical pain, but she's had events in her past where she's just harboring so much guilt and regret for the decision that she made. One of the things, she took her cat to a shelter and then just never forgave herself for that. And so in that experience, feeling so guilty and shameful, she was punishing herself. And that punishment manifested as pain. Now, if she could, again, zoom back out and see this from a perspective of, well, maybe that was an opportunity for you to experience this guilt and experience, you know, yourself as this bad person that needed to be punished, but what if we could embrace that person and accept and allow that aspect of you to be fully loved, right? So, again, you know, what we were talking about in embracing the dark aspects of ourselves. So what if that opportunity of her taking the cat to the shelter created itself to be, you know, perceiving ourselves as a bad person, but then that's just an opportunity for us to love all pieces of ourselves.
Right.
Yeah, that's a whole other shift in perspective, too, where we don't get fired in that I was a bad person for taking my cat to the shelter. You know, I'm being punished with this guilt, and therefore, you know, I'm experiencing this pain because I should be. I'm a bad person.
Right. And you know what's actually what I'm seeing happening with some that I've worked with is not even so to get into the a little more woo-woo side of things, you know, is things that have happened in other lifetimes that people have carried forward with them in terms of guilt, like a big freaking, you know, weight on their shoulders or on their back. And And whether or not it has manifested, like I literally had somebody who came into me and he said, you know what? I have a good life. He said, you know, I had a great childhood and my parents were loving, you know, they're loving and wonderful and they love each other and they love me. And, you know, I had great friends and I had good grades in school and, you know, I got through college really well and I met a wonderful woman and I got married and I got a great job. I mean, he's like, I have nothing to complain about. He said, I have a fabulous life. He said, I have fabulous friends. He goes, and he goes, I am constantly telling myself I don't deserve it. And he goes, and I have no understanding as to why. He goes, because there is nothing. He goes, I've gone through psychotherapy. I went through a serious depressed time. He was like, because depressive time, they had me on meds. He's like, because there was nothing that would explain why I had that, you know, demeanor, because I had nothing in that in my life that manifested that would be, you know, considered the cause of this, you know. So we had sort of started working. We were talking about the shadow, you know, the shadow side, and that was what I got right away. So we worked out, you know, we worked on that, and you know, it was a couple of sessions, and we uncovered some things from another life that was really heavily judged, that he heavily judged about himself, that he carried as an albatross around his neck. Like I literally saw like a bird hanging on his neck, and it was like, so there was a huge thing about forgiveness in there. So it doesn't necessarily even have to be in this life. So regardless of, you know, to step out of that even for a minute, but it's because most of the time it does actually manifest itself as a repetitive thing if we are continuing to carry it. But there are situations where people are like, I have no idea why I'm upset. And I find those the most fascinating because those are, you know, huge. Or you want to talk about going out to the, you know, zooming out, right? You're looking at sometimes multiple lifetimes, sometimes this entire existence. There's a theme that's an overarching theme because that's where we are energetically. That's pretty tremendous. And if we sat there and spent all this time going, well, you know, we could sit here and try to psychoanalyze like why it is that this is going on, or we could say, okay, let's see what guidance tells us, or the bigger, you know, higher consciousness, and say, okay, well, let's just work on worthiness and loving ourselves, you know, like in that space that I was guided is working on worthiness and self-love and knowing that you're unconditionally loved and that you are part of the divine. And the more we hit on that, the more the stuff started, you know, it just started to bubble up. And when we finally saw it, I was like, I can see the self-judgment on that, you know, but it was, and it took him, even when we were out there in the ethers together, and I was saying, you know, it's okay, because it serves a bigger purpose for you and for the others involved, and that's where we start zooming out, right?
And when they come to you, you know, when they're ready for change, then it's like, oh, it served its purpose, but, you know, that cycle's complete now, or is about to be. And usually those core issues are what you mentioned. It's accepting, it's knowing you're worthy, you deserve it, and anything you've done that you remember or you don't remember from a past life or whatever, the judgment is never serving you.
Right.
So perceiving yourself in any type of negative way, any judgment way, perpetuates whatever condition is being manifested.
Right.
Whether it's not feeling worthy or feeling physical pain. And so I think, you know, for a general audience to have that perspective and knowing that if they begin to practice some self-love, self-nurturing, fully accepting themselves, you know, self-care, that can begin to clear out some of that path, so they can reprogram, you know, that experience of feeling worthy, feeling deserved.
Right.
The highest, to me, what I've experienced is the most healing is to align yourself with those, I love you, I'm worthy, I deserve the best, I'm filled with unconditional love, or, you know, whatever that person's wanting to create.
Right.
It addresses that judgment, or whatever that path is.
Well, right, and I mean, that goes back to some basic, you know, vibrational shifting, right? So using your words, using your thoughts, changing the patterns of that, right? Changing, and so that's not even looking at any of these things, right? Or getting distracted by any of these things, but to stop and say, really, one of the most core issue for us is to remembering we are the divine, We are unconditionally loved. We are unconditionally worthy. And by the way, the role that we play, even if we feel like it is like an ant on an ant on an ant, you know, a flea on an ant or whatever, it is still imperative to the entire symphony of the way we are shifting and moving forward, or else you wouldn't be here, right?
Right.
And so, you know, people want to get distracted with, and all right, so now let's really pan out. So, like, you know, this is a lot to cover in one 45-minute show. Because we can talk about this for hours. but it's like, all right, so pan out from the individual, right? So when we start focusing on that, right, the self-love, when we start doing that, we stop judging others as much as we might, all right? Because, you know, like what we come to understand is, by the way, if we're all the divine, we're all reflections of ourselves within each other. So if I'm judging myself and I have a deep-rooted thing about myself, then I'm judging other people. And so the people who are most critical of others are those who are most critical of themselves and have like a really big issue with themselves and a lack of self-love. So when we start to, so, you know, this is what I'm talking about panning out, because then I inevitably will get the question about, well, what about so-and-so, like my spouse, my kids, my friends, you know, my parents, like what about them? And what about their, you know, people start taking, you know, control of their own journey and they're like, well, you know, I'm worried about all these. And I'm like, you know, there's no worry, because by the way, if we simply started to love ourselves, then we could accept pretty much anything that's put into our reality. Don't you agree?
I had a share with a practitioner, and we were saying the same exact thing. As we have an opportunity to notice if we're someone else, then that just gives us a chance to see what's going on internally, because it's all a mirror anyway, right? Everybody who is around us is a mirror, and so the more we love ourselves, we automatically start loving others.
Right.
And it's just, it's natural, and it's perfect.
Right. And so, you know, that coupled with, you know, first of all, coming into that place of love, coming to that place of knowing that I have all of the answers inside of me. It's just a matter of remembering them or remembering how to access them, whether it's through meditation or any kind of, you know, energetic healing work or whatever. It's all the same. It's all just ice cream, you know, right? But I always tell, you know, it's so important to get to that point. And then when we come into that place of such self-acceptance, then we start seeing the world. So now we get it back out into the macro stuff. We start seeing the world in a much better perspective, a much different perspective, in a much more accepting perspective. And, you know, what I find interesting, so you want to talk about Chinese, right? So how many people do you know who are obsessed with the news?
Right.
And they spend all of their time talking. I mean, and I have observed this time and time again. All they talk about are the horrific things that they perceive. What they perceive is horrific things that are going on in the news, right?
Yeah.
And so I have changed, you know, and what I typically tell people, which is really funny, is 95% of the time, I don't know what they're talking about because I honestly just don't watch the news anymore. And
yeah,
it has nothing to do with not caring. It has to do with knowing that that is simply a facade. And really the importance comes down to what's inside of me. Because the more I work on me, the more I focus on me, the more I focus on self-love and emanating my light, right, the better I can make anything around me as anybody else can. So I focus on helping others, remembering how to do that, instead of focusing on, here's the shiny of, oh, my God, did you see this accident? And, you know, like three people died and this person lost an arm. And, I mean, have you ever heard these conversations?
Yeah.
I know, and I mean, there are people I know where literally as soon as I say hi, the first thing they do is jump to, oh my God, did you see this? And it's like drama, right? And that's totally a shiny.
Right.
And
it's a distraction from looking at yourself. I mean, that's the biggest shiny, whether it's drama on the TV or drama at work or drama in your family. Time and time again, I've seen, you know, people who extend just exhaust themselves with getting caught up in this because they feel like they're helping, right? They feel like, oh, if I'm part of this, and here I can, you know, be the martyr or the helper, the fixer, the counselor, or, you know, oh, you know, things, an earthquake happened, we need to, you know, focus our attention in this place. And yeah, in many cases, we do need to send support and things like that. But it's a total distraction. Right. I think so many people who are sensitive and empathic get caught up in this because they feel like it's their job, their responsibility to help. And
that's ego, by the way, because right. that then validates their worthiness at some level by their ego saying, well, I can only be worthy by helping other people or sacrificing myself or martyring myself, right?
And it's the biggest distraction of all. And it's the biggest facade of all.
Right.
Because then it's like, oh, I'm a good person because here I am expending all my time and energy helping other people when in fact it's just a big worthiness, issue because they're not willing to give themselves the love and the attention because they don't feel worthy of it. So they get their worthiness externally, but then they end up being exhausted, tired, sick, and physical pain because they've had zero time and attention to give themselves the space to nurture and love them.
Right.
And so people, it's like, you can't really help the world until your cup is full. And until you realize that all that's the distraction and really needs to fill up here, then you can go save the world.
Right, right. Well, it's like, I always come back to the airplane thing, right? If the oxygen mask comes down, put it on yourself first before helping the person sitting next to you. It's so simple, right? And you're right, it is so interesting because some of the people that I find who are so desperately trying to distract themselves from looking within because there's so much self-judgment are some that are in the spiritual realm who are doing it, who do this, and you're right, who spend all of their time, helping this person and helping these people, and they leave nothing left to themselves, and oh my gosh, I'm so sick, but I won't take any time for myself because I have to help all these people, and it's like, well, actually, the helping yourself first, and we have culturally, egoically, in the basis of duality and separation, we have developed the belief that what makes us worthy and good is by helping people above ourselves, is about martyring ourselves, is about, trading in our own needs and wants for that of other people, and this is a big shift for us.
It's the ultimate shiny.
In a huge way.
We've been programmed with it, it's culturally, and it's better to give than to receive. We have to sacrifice ourselves to help others, especially the female population. We get programmed with this at really young ages, and then it just perpetuates in, business and in school, and, we're taught not to trust ourselves, we're taught to defer to other people, and so it just perpetuates and perpetuates and perpetuates until there usually is some kind of either A, I'm sick of this, B, I'm sick,
right.
C, I have no life that is mine. It manifests in all sorts of different ways for different people, but until people realize that they're, they've just been expending all their energy on what's around them, on the shiny objects of the drama, whether it be media, family, friends, work, etc., until that refocus comes back in, then all that is just a big shiny object.
Right. Right. And by the way, and so people say, well, what's the matter with that? And what's wrong with that? And the thing is, the well will eventually run dry, right? So that's when you get sick and all that other stuff. However, but here's also the other thing. When we come to helping others from a place of the ego, right, even if it is not perceived that way, right, it's always with expectation, right? So either you expect the person to, be effusive in their saying, to give you credit to all the other people, or even just to get credit from others around you for being such an awesome person, well, that's externalizing and that's ego-based, right?
Right.
When you come at it from a place of, I am happy with myself, I am a place of love, I am a divine, and by the way, I'm honoring you as a reflection of me as part of the expression of the divine, when I come at it from that perspective, I don't care if anybody knows about what it is that we did together, what I might have done to help you, you might never know. And it doesn't even matter because all that matters is that we're all in this together and it all comes from this place of love and togetherness and oneness. And so it's really interesting because it's something to look for is when you find yourself expecting something in return, whether it's even just a public acknowledgement or something like that, because I can't tell you how many people I know who say things like, oh, well, I just can't even talk to this person because, I did all this stuff to help them and they never once publicly acknowledged me. And I'm like, okay, so why does it matter? Did you do it from your heart? If you did it from your heart, then what does it matter?
Right.
You know, I don't sit, and that's an interesting thing, too, is this understanding of, like, the need for, that. But it's very tricky because we have it so ingrained, right? And so much tells you, well, you're only worthy if you do this, and people understand that you do this. It makes you a good person. I mean, we romanticize it in our books and in our movies and in our news and all that kind of stuff, right?
So we're constantly seeking worthiness, validation, I'm good enough externally. We're reaching for it all the time. When we don't get it, then we're left feeling empty. But if we start within and we get to build that well and fill that cup without having to get the acknowledgement externally. And it's a practice. You know, I've spent most of my life getting my worthiness from other people, seeking approval, seeking validation, you know, sacrificing my own needs to make sure everybody else was happy, because as long as they were happy, then I was validated, I was worthy, and I was, you know, it was okay for me to be happy. So it took a lot of freaking work to reverse that programming, and it still, I'll see it manifest in different ways. Well, when I began to see this from a higher perspective, you know, a couple of years ago, and I began to shift, some of relationships adjusted, some friendships changed, and then some things in family changed, and so I could see these different aspects of my life begin to shift, and so I was like, okay, I got this, taking care of me, self-care, I'm making sure that I'm, you know, getting my daily nurturing and getting my worthiness from within. And the next thing I know, I'm totally blindsided and I am completely neglecting myself for my perspective, my client. And so I had to get hit over the head again to say, okay, you know, you practiced it here and you've, you know, done some progress, but, you know, there's still some things to look at. And again, the not the judgment, it was like, oh, wow, here it is again. Isn't that interesting that, you know, I'm doing the same thing just in a different mode.
Right.
So, you know, it's an energetic shifting. It's a consciousness change in terms of how we're perceiving it. And then it's practice. It's just noticing day to day when it shows up. It's creating boundaries, learning how to say no. That's a big one.
Right. For many.
Now asking, is this, you know, where is this coming from? Is this coming from my heart? Am I sacrificing myself, and what are, you know, is this ego-based, is this heart-centered? So I think it's approaching it from that perspective of like, oh, now that I have this new awareness, I can go out in the world and play with it and practice it, so I can begin to make those changes where I can now begin to fill up my cup and find that worthiness from within versus without.
True, right. And then, So the next step from there, like I said, we're doing like this, you know, kindergarten to PhD, you know, 45 minutes, right? So from there, that's right. Hey, that's how it's getting faster and faster. So soon we'll get down to 15 minutes and we'll get there, right? the next part of that is, you know, so finding that worthiness within yourself. And that's where I always talk about meditation. I always talk about self-care. You know, intending to yourself and loving yourself and all that kind of stuff. And there's a zillion different ways of being able to start working on that, including simply getting in butt naked and standing in front of a mirror and saying, you know, I love you and you're awesome. I am awesome as I am right now today. And it's uncomfortable for a lot of people at first, but the more you go, the more it's like, okay, can live with it, you know, and yes, and oh, not only did you live with it, but then, oh, yes, I do love myself. Oh, yes, I am awesome. And it's okay for me to say that because you're awesome too, and so is everybody else, and of course we are, right? But once we get there, then we can truly start to trust the knowledge that we hold within, right? Because it's that lack of self-love, that lack of worthiness that causes us, you know, all of these three bazillion things that causes us then to get to this place of all of those things prevent us from trusting our own intuition, trusting our own higher consciousness, trusting that we are part of the divine and we have all the answers. So then the next step beyond this of shinies then becomes, even in the spiritual realm, I see it all the time now, right? It's like you ask 100 different people what's going on energetically or metaphysically or spiritually, and you get 100 different answers because of the filters of those individual journeys. And I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm saying that they're just filtered through the perception of the person who perceives it, right? That's part of what we created. So then you get so many that, I'll tell you what, in the last couple of weeks, I keep on having emails and texts and conversations about certain predictions that are going out there. And what do you see and what do you believe? And I'll be like, well, what do you get? You know, like, because really it doesn't even matter, because if we start looking at this as a facade, which is a, you know, completely different conversation,
yeah.
right? But if we just look at it as a facade and we say, okay, so there's all these illustrations. Oh my gosh, I see so many who say, so I literally had somebody who I had been talking to who is a very powerful spiritual practitioner in multiple ways, very practiced, and she's just phenomenal. And she went to like somebody's channeling session, and she had made all these changes in her life, and she was going down a certain path. And because of this consciousness that was channeled in this session through another person that she didn't know, you know, the message that she got was translated, and then she took it to, you know, like, oh, well, I need to change direction, and never stopped to check her own guidance to say, is this truly my truth? Is this my truth? Is this, you know, the highest and best for my journey? She simply took the other person's word for it, which is such a habit, right? That's that unworthiness of, well, okay, no matter how many years I've been doing this, if somebody comes in, who I don't know them from Adam, right? They could come in and they say, oh, honey, you need to do this. How many times we're in such a habit of just dropping our entire bag of understanding to say, oh, really? How did I miss that, right?
Yeah. It's easier to, you know, seek it elsewhere versus trusting around ourselves. Because
yeah.
then we really have to trust ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so we sorry, I just got distracted.